Welcome, everybody. I'm Pastor Steve. Good to have you. Father, we're grateful. We thank you so much for, I say this every time, Lord, your presence, your goodness, and your manifestation. Your presence is here. You always bring your goodness, and your manifestation is so vital to all of us. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person to profit them, to make them better, to help them. So we thank you for the manifestation of the Spirit that's here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person to profit them. So manifestations of the Spirit, most people don't believe in any of that, and a lot of Christians don't believe in manifestations of the Spirit, but the Bible talks about manifestations of the Spirit. So for sure, I want the manifestation in my heart because I want the assurance, blessed assurance. I want that witness on the inside. That's a manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't necessarily talk often as far as where you might pick up on the voice of the Spirit at times if you're in a really serious situation or you're really going through some trouble or something's really, you might get a word from God out that would seems like, whoa, God just spoke or something like, but generally it's on the inside. We listen. We must get quiet. We must learn to silence the brain so that the heart can be louder and louder. So this gets quieter and quieter. This gets louder and louder. It's the opposite everywhere. Out in the world, it's the opposite. This is the loudest there is, and this barely is a peep. But we change that around and praying quietly, going about your fellowship with God in the Bible and spending time in prayer will amplify the voice of the Holy Spirit, will amplify what's really, really important in you so that sometimes this gets shut down and this becomes the loudest. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. All right, so on Wednesday night, we talked about Galatians 5:1, and I, you know, as much as we discussed it, there's just so much in this verse, and so I want to go back to Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Stand fast, you know, standing fast. When you pour concrete, you wait for it to get fast or solid. Fast is solid, so we want to stand solid in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. I want to be known as a solid Christian. I want to be known as somebody who's strong in the Lord. I want to be someone who's in the power of his might. I want to stand fast. I want to stand strong. I want to be known. Do I care about being known? No, but if someone were going to say something, I would want them to say that he's strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not his own might, but in the power of God's might. We want to be strong in the Lord. So stand fast in the liberty. Liberty is freedom. Freedom means that I'm getting free from bondage. I'm getting free from myself. I'm getting free from my past. I'm getting free from my thoughts. I'm getting free from who I used to be. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Those old things are passed away. I see those old things passed away. They're just a faint blur of my former past, only for reference, only for, you know, just to say that I came out from darkness into the marvelous light. And so stand fast in the liberty, freedom, wherewith Christ has made us free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And be not entangled again. Entangled, what came to mind this morning is back about 50 years ago or longer. There used to be Tarzan movies. Johnny Weissmuller, he was a great swimmer and Olympian. He won a lot, and he became Tarzan. And Tarzan had a son, and they called him Boy. And Boy was in one of the shows back a long time ago. He was running, and he's running from one of the predators, and he runs right into this giant spider web from this wall to that wall, right? And he's stuck in the spider web, right? And, the more he fights to get free from this spider web, the more entangled he gets. And the scripture here says, be not entangled again, okay? So if I'm walking the right path and I turn around to go back to the way I used to be, I can get entangled again in that old life, and I get, you know, and the more I struggle in my own strength, it's spider webs are sticky, right? And so the more I try and push my way out of it and wiggle my way out, the more caught up in it I get. And it just gets worse the more I struggle. And eventually, you know, the objective there is to get bit by the spider. And, you know, and then he does what he does, whatever he does, you know. But so we want to be not entangled again with the yoke. A yoke, if you had two ox and you wanted them to stick to the path, okay, when you were plowing and you're in the old days when you didn't have tractors and all that, you were holding on to two animals and you didn't want one animal going that way and one animal going that way. So you put together this wood across their necks to hold them together so that they would walk in step. It's called a yoke. Okay, so it's a locked in place thing. Be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. You don't want to be yoked together with your old life, with your old self. You don't want to be attached no matter what you do. I can't walk away. I can't get free of the old life because I'm yoked to it. It says, be not entangled. Be not tangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know what bondage means? In that spider web, you're bound, man. And if the spider is a giant spider, he comes out and he wraps you up and he bites you and he saves you for later, you know. I mean, we don't want to be entangled again. I don't want to keep run from one web to another web to another web to another web, and I'm being entangled. I'm stuck. It's sticky. Help. What am I going to do? The spider's going to bite me and eat me. I don't know. Does anybody get freaked out by spiders, man? Back in the old days, we'd watch those shows that, you know, there would be the spiders from Mars. I think that's Ziggy Stardust. I think that's, what's his name, with the red hair, David Bowie, you know. But the point being, you know, is that nobody wants to get stuck that way, you know. So stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, and don't walk lockstep with the world. So if I'm yoked together, I'm walking in step with the world, right? And Christ has set us free. He's given us power, wonder-working power to be set free from everybody's opinion and everybody's style and everybody's the way they walk and where they go and what they do. Freedom has been given to us in our spirit. We have the power of God on the inside of us and the person of the Holy Spirit to break every chain so that my pattern of life, somebody might be 30 or you might be 40 or might be 50, you might be 20. And you say, well, my pattern of life is such and such. So what? Everybody gets to break the chain, if you want to break the chain. And the only source of breaking the chain, I mean, the system has so many ways and so many programs and so many avenues, and bless their hearts, because that's what they do and that's what they know. But in Christianity, we have a path to break chains, to break every chain. I want to challenge you, man. You know, easy chains, you know, just pop them, right? Big deal. We can get rid of that, but it's those difficult chains, those old chains, those ones that are big and thick and they don't want to break. Those are the ones. I mean, sure, we can just through stick-to-itiveness and through self-will and a desire, we can break through a lot of stuff. Change. We're Christians. You're intelligent people. You're gifted people. You have the ability to just stand up for righteousness' sake and say no to a lot of things. But then once you clear out that, you know, the simple stuff, you start getting deeper and deeper into the stuff. And that's where you need that power to break the chains in Jesus' name. And God has given us the power to break the chains, because bondage is never a good word in the Bible. Never will you find bondage a good word in the Bible. They were cruel taskmasters to the Israelite slaves. They were, the yoke, obviously, was the Pharaoh was the Egyptian king, and they kept the children, the Israelites. They kept them as slaves, and they were cruel taskmasters. So over and over, we find examples in the Bible of cruel bondage by the enemies of the Israelite Jews. In Exodus 1:14, King James Version, they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Amplified says harsh and severe. Man, you guys don't know it. I don't know it. None of us know it. Man, we've all got a story. We've all grown up with difficulty, challenges. Maybe, you know, you guys, maybe somebody was poor. We were poor. They were poor. Who knows? Whatever the circumstances are. Thank God if you weren't. Praise the Lord. Just say, thank you, Jesus. We didn't go through poverty. We didn't, you know, we didn't have to live on food stamps and welfare and have, you know, whatever. But praise God. You know, the life could be really, really bad. But here it says that it was harsh and severe for the children of Israel under Pharaoh and under the Egyptians. In Exodus 2:23, it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed. Sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. They cried. How am I crying, man? I think we all, I don't know, maybe you just refuse to cry. I cry, you know, I hope, you know, sometimes you cry. What can you say? But they cried because of their bondage, and they sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God said to Moses in Exodus 6:5-6, I've heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I've remembered my covenant. Praise God for the covenant. That's the deal that God has made with his people. He's a covenant-keeping God. He keeps his side of the bargain. Even when we fail him, he keeps his side of the bargain. It wouldn't be a drag that if every time I failed God, he failed me. No, it's impossible for God to fail. God will not fail. He keeps his word, and he will not fail. And so just, man, we need to just stick to our commitments. We need to stick to our faith. We need to be diligent. We need to serve God with all our heart. And we need to quit failing. Somebody goes, well, yeah, quit failing. Don't give any room for failure. Stop failing. Stop quitting. Stop giving up. Stop throwing in the towel. Stop wavering. Stop being a loser. And I say loser. I'm not calling anybody a loser. It's just that when you fail, you lose. Failing is losing. Losing is failing. We don't have to. We don't have to. Amen. All right, so God said, I've heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I remember my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, now this I am the Lord. That is, who sent you? Who do you represent? I am. That I am is one of the greatest words in the entire Bible. I am. Who do they say that? Whom should I say has sent me? I am. I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. Exodus 6:9, and Moses spoke to the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses because they were in anguish of spirit for the cruel bondage. My brothers and sisters, you're going to have to find if someone is in the pit of despair. You have to gather yourself to find hope. Because while you are in the pit of despair, you're liable to stay in that pit of despair and just flow down the river of refuse and just live that way. But no, we gather ourselves. We pull ourselves together. We straighten ourselves up and we say, I have hope. I have hope in Jesus Christ. I have hope in his name. I have hope in his blood. I have hope in his word. I have hope in his church. I have hope in the saints. I have hope that that things will change, that I will get better, that things will change for me. I can come out of the bondage. I can come out that God has redeemed me. And Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and summarizing the suffering caused by cruel bondage and misery of Egypt, of Israelites, the famous example of so much misery caused by the enemies of God. Well, how do you translate that to modern times? Drugs, alcohol, porn, debt, food. I mean, you name it. I mean, modern bondage. Modern bondage. Christian, if you won't call those things bondage, you'll never fight. But when you finally admit that that's bondage, God has not called me to bondage. God has not called me. God has called. Jesus came to set the captives free, to deliver me, to deliver me, to set me free. And so if you won't admit, you can pretend like, oh, it's not that big a problem, but you can't stop. You know, whether it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, debt, spending, food, eating, all those things. Whatever it is, I mean, oh, that's just, five or whatever, how many, 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, how many things are there? And we just challenge ourselves. I mean, Christians should, you know what really irritates me? Is when you go and you meet Christians that have no desire to press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They're just, this is my lot in life, and I'm just trudging through, and I accept all this as, from the hand of God. No! Accept failure as from the hand of God. Accept misery as if from the hand of God. Accept pain as if from the hand of God. God is not the author of pain. I'm not ducking from God because he's going to slap me upside the head. I don't believe that. We grew up believing stuff like that. Every bad thing happened because God slapped you upside the head. I don't believe it. I believe he's a good God. I believe he loves me. I believe that he paid the price for me to come out of darkness into his marvelous life, to walk in the Spirit, to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, to enjoy the blessing of life. I believe in blessings of life. I believe that God can take someone, anyone, all of us, and if we will surrender and yield and walk in the Spirit and be doers of the Word, that life will change and continue to progress in a positive, better way. I believe it. I believe in the life of Jesus. I believe it. Otherwise, I'd have no hope. I'm just trudging through. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. I believe that. I believe there's absolute, exceeding, abundantly above all I could ask or think, according to what?
The power that works.
The power that works where? In me, in us. The exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ, the same Spirit, the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. What just happened? We celebrated that he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, every name that is named, whatever you got in your secret hiding under your armpit or in your earwax or in your smelly underwear or whatever it is, whatever the negativity is that you've got, it's time that you get rid of it and you let God have it and walk away from it and be above and not beneath, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in my home, blessed in my job, blessed in my family, blessed in my finances, blessed in my health, blessed every way. Yeah. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Why don't you say it? Or are you afraid to? Are you afraid to say I'm blessed? We were taught to say we're blessed when we weren't. That's faith. To say you're blessed when you're not. When I'm struggling, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I'm trudging through. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I'm going to hold fast to my profession of faith without wavering. I'm going to stick to it. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm a blessing going somewhere to happen. God has opened the windows of heaven and he pours me out a blessing that I don't even have room enough to receive it all. He rebukes the devourer for my sake and my vines won't cast their fruit before their time in the field. And everything I put my hands to will prosper. That's all scripture. That's all scripture. You know what? I could sit there and have a dialogue with God in my brain, just pouring out sentences from my brain that have zero power. Do you understand, in comparison to the Word of God, your brain has zero power? You might be the smartest person in the room. I bet you there's I know Sam's brilliant. I mean, God, there's many of you. But where's the power? What does that do? But this is exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us. The power that's at work within us. How do I get that power to work? I start putting the Bible into my heart. It's not ripping out a page and crumbling it up and sticking it down the front of your shirt. It's taking one scripture that is most important for you right now, and you can figure it out. Put different categories of need. Find a scripture for every need and put that scripture in your heart. You put it in your heart and you look at it. Every time the need arises, you look at that verse and you say it out loud. Pretty soon you don't need to look at it. You know it by heart. And pretty soon when these situations arise that continue to say negativity to you and they keep saying you're a loser, you're going to keep losing, you're never going to win, everything's going bad for you, why don't you just throw in the towel and quit? Why don't you just say it doesn't work? Everybody faces that. But you press towards them. Our pressing means you press through it. You keep going and you keep going and you keep going. And what do? You hold fast your profession of faith without wavering because he's faithful that promised. You hold fast to that promise with the way, you know, I can see these rooms I used to be in, you know, when I was, you know, I was pressing in life, trying to raise my children, trying to pay my car payment, trying to pay insurance, trying to do normal stuff. And it was a challenge. And I needed help. And I asked God to help me. And I decided that I can't do it by myself. And I said, God, if you help me, I'll serve you with all my heart. And so I began to serve God with all my heart. And boom. Boom, things started to change. When I said, I'll serve you with all of my heart, what does that mean? It means I'll put your word first place. I'll seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto me. And things began to change. Doors began to open. I was getting, oh man, I've told the stories many times about, you know, how good things turned out when I sold out to God. That's my bottom line right there, is selling out to God. What part of life are you holding on to that is blocking your progress in your faith in Christ? You've got to cast the care or cast that over on God, yield, surrender, and let him be God in that area. There are some things that each of us have struggles with to let go of, but when you let go and you just begin to move and progress towards, it's called putting God first place. If something else is first place in your life. So, all right, going forward here, amen. All right, we're talking about bondage is anything in this life that hinders, harasses, causes pain, suffering, misery, for us, including our negative circumstances, bad decisions, choices that negatively impact our life. We've all got them. Everybody could write down top five things that they made mistakes. So, you know what? You just got to move on from your mistakes. You got to say, all right, man, I did that. Yeah, that's wrong. No more. I'm going to start making good quality decisions. I'm going forward. Our greatest truth today for all of us to hear is that willful sin is our cause of pain, suffering, and bondage. Satan is the author of pain, suffering, and bondage. So as long as you're surrendered to him, you're going to live in pain, suffering, and bondage. God is not the author of our suffering. Luke 4:18 said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's pretty good right there. So what can the gospel do for the poor? Logically, poor is misery. And so if you preach the gospel to the poor, it'll help me get out of the misery of being poor or in poverty. So that's good news to me right there. Yeah, Lord, help me do that. I want to get out of there. So you leave that. The gospel of the poor sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, man, you don't know. You just don't know. It got quiet. Broken hearts. God heals broken hearts. You know, everybody probably has a pain of a memory of a broken heart of some sort, but he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim deliverance. We've been talking about being delivered, set free, setting free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I mean, I'm not just going to be neutral. I want free, free indeed, free, complete free. I want to be able to step back and say, I am free. I'm free. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Oppression. Oppression is pressure. It's continual torment of the mind. Hopefully most people are not. Most Christians are not. But there are some that just have this oppression where you feel like there's a weight just pressing you down all the time. I feel oppressed. No, God wants you to stand up. Look up. Breathe deep and enjoy the peace that passes understanding, the life of Christ in you, the strength and the vitality and the reality of what God came to give you and set you free from, to enjoy life, to enjoy life, to simply enjoy life, to take the next step into enjoyment of life. We're all going through stuff. Everybody goes through stuff. But man, take the next step into enjoyment of life. Liberty is freedom and deliverance, breaking free from the enemy, recovery from misery. Amen. All right, King James says bruised. The word here we're just looking at here is to set at liberty those that are bruised. Obviously, bruising physically is the purple and blue marks on you, but several versions say crushed. People that are crushed. Others say oppressed. Whether you're bruised, crushed, or oppressed, it means defeated, misery, pain, suffering, darkness. It's never the will of God. If you, my friends, some of us, you're looking at one that came out of a doctrine of just toe the line, because that's just what you get. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, and you're going to just have misery and suffering and trouble and pain. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he came to set the captives free. If I was captive to any of those things or all of those things, he came to set me free. He paid the price for my deliverance. Crushed, oppressed, defeated, bruised, misery, pain, suffering, darkness are never the will of God. I say it's never the will of God. You might get other Christians that say, you can't say that about God. He may be slinging the stuff on you. He may be bringing you through to teach you something. He may be the author of your pain. Man, I just don't see it that way, and I don't teach it that way, and I don't believe it that way. And I'm enjoying, Christians, I'm enjoying. You're enjoying. Many of you are enjoying. There's so many of you that know the truth. The truth has set you free, and you're enjoying life, and you're having it more abundantly. You stepped up to a new place in your abundant life. You're just pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And as you go, life is good. Amen. Somebody say, life is good. All right, people are crushed by Satan, the cruel taskmaster. Satan is always a source of pain, suffering, bondage, and life. Too many Christians blame God. Too many Christians are not using their liberty to resist sin, but to participate in it. And most suffering is avoidable. Christians who use liberty to participate are causing their own suffering. You know, somebody would go, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, you know what? I believe in the life of Jesus. I believe it. I do. I believe it. I believe the, you know, someone would say that, well, that's some high faith, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is called faith. It's called faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for.
I don't hope for misery. No way. I don't hope for pain. I don't hope for suffering. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is my evidence that I don't see of my life being better, that my life progressing, my life being prospering, and my health being better, and deliverance, and victory, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance? I'm believing these things are for me. I'm believing that those things are what God wants for me, and I believe that I can have them, and I can walk in them, and that that is good. Somebody say good.
Good.
Good. Amen. That is good. I got a lot of, you know, I'm going to do this because only because there might be someone just needs a little bit more of understanding of getting, sin is always the cruel taskmaster. So what you, when you get out into sin, there's a cruel taskmaster with a whip. And he's treating you like either an animal or a slave, or, you know, just whipping and cruelty and misery and suffering. God is not the author of suffering. The devil is. Sin opens the door to suffering. You reap what you sow. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, whatsoever a woman sows, that shall they also reap. They that sow to the flesh, they that sow to the self, they that sow to the carnal animal, they that sow to the world, they that sow to need I name what these things are sowing to, but if I sow to the flesh, of the flesh I reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall reap life and life everlasting. Life is Zoe. Zoe is life like God has. It's up in heaven. There is just perfect everything. You know, we have these beautiful artworks that have pictures of heaven. And the colors are incredible, and the scenery is just, you could just sit there, I could anyway, just sit there and just imagine and see it and enjoy it. And so up in heaven there's none of the things that are going on down here. It's joy and peace and the goodness of God, the favor of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the presence of God, the victory of God, all the wonderful things that heaven would be and should be. Everybody should have that picture. Everybody should have that picture of that in life, or that in heaven what you're going to. What you've been bought with a price, you've been delivered from the power of darkness, you've been translated into his kingdom. Now you are a citizen of that place, and you're just waiting till, you know, you're making the best out of this life. You're doing what the word says to do, and pretty soon Jesus Christ will come back and he'll take us all to heaven with us. And from that point on, there's no more of this lifestyle here. It's different. It's incredible. It's victory. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all the wonderful things that, you know, we can get away from. Thank God. All right, so going forward here, Peter understood this because Peter tested. Not, he wasn't testing Jesus, but his lifestyle kind of tested Jesus, and he found out the hard way a lot of times, and we could go into some of the things that Peter did. But then Peter says it now Peter's the leader, right? Peter failed Jesus, he denied him, he did the things that he did, but yet Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. You know, so he said it several times to him, but here in 1 Peter 3:10, it says, for he that will love life, he or she that will love life, if you want to love this life, and if you want to see good days, everybody say good days.
Good days.
because there are good days ahead for a person who will believe. If you don't believe in good days, you don't get to see those good days. You can fight. You can do everything you can to have good days, and you can press for good days, and in your own strength, you can try and make your life as good as possible as you can. But if you want the power of God to see good days, to he that will love life and see good days, what should I do? Let me refrain my tongue from evil and my lips from speaking guile. Okay, so what am I going to do? All right, so somebody goes, well, where do you get this positivity stuff? Well, right there, if you take out evil and guile out of your mouth, you're taking out negativity. That's where it comes from. It's not that, it's not, oh, you're just one of those positive talking people. No, the Bible tells you to do this. It says here, if you want to see good days, refrain your tongue. It doesn't say walk a mile. It doesn't say save for the future. I'm just making stuff up. I mean, any of those things, those are great things. Walk a mile, safe. This says, refrain your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. It's not just once in a while. It's not just pretty often. It's every single time you want to say something contrary to what you want, you stop yourself, you bite your tongue, you close your lips, and you stop talking that way, and you turn it around. And you say what you want rather than what you don't want. Well, where do you get these ideas from? Jesus said, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he says will come to pass, he shall have what he says. Not what he wants, not what he believes, but he'll have what he says. And therefore, I am going to start saying, I'm going to start, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put it in reverse. And I'm going to back up from a lot of the stuff I've been saying. Okay, now that I've got the car backed, or the vehicle, or the system, I've got the system backed up a little bit. Okay, now I make the choice right now. I let no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Oh, you know what it means is that I let no, not going to say it, not going to let it come out of my mouth, because now what I'm doing is I want the things that I say to minister grace to the hearer. And God's listening, and I want to say things that agree with God, not contradict God. Okay, so let's just believe today, and I do with all my heart, and most of you do, that God is a good God. And if he's a good God, he wants good for you. He wants favor, grace, blessing. He wants, the Bible talks about whatsoever you put your hands to shall prosper. That is a goal for someone, because you don't believe that what you can put your hands to will prosper. But the Bible says that whatsoever he puts his hands to will prosper. So now I want to get my words going in the right direction. I want to get my actions going in the right direction. I want to get my believing going in the right direction. I want to get this word in my heart and start speaking the word, so that the word can give me the power. The word is where the power comes from. The power is in the word. God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and it's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The power's in the word to do what you need to do to get what you want and to get it done. When I say get what you want, I want to get changed. Okay, I want to change. I want victory instead of defeat. I want joy and peace instead of suffering and misery. I want to like my life. I don't want to hate my life anymore. Let's just start right there. I just hate my life. I just We all do it. We've all done it. Well, if you hate your life, you need to, if you want to enjoy life and see good days, let him refrain his lips from evil and his tongue from speaking guile. Where did I learn that? Did I just pick that up? No, I've been saying it for the last 40 years. How long do I quote scripture? 40 years. Why 40 years? Because that's when I learned it. How long did it take to turn me around from going the wrong direction? When I got saved, I turned around, but my mouth didn't, my thinking didn't, my life didn't. But praise God for people that aren't afraid to tell you what the Bible says. They tell you, they take criticism for it, they get attacked for it, but they call them name it or claim it, or they talk about positive confession, or they talk about, but that's what the Bible says to do. The Bible says it over and over. Read Proverbs. If you don't know where to go, read Proverbs. Everybody can enjoy Proverbs for five sentences. Five sentences. You can handle five sentences. I know you can handle a lot more than that. But if somebody could read five sentences, somewhere within there is advice on how to be successful and enjoy life. Someone has to believe that God wants you to enjoy life. You may be going through misery right now. In that thing, God can bring you out of it and help you to see things from his perspective and to believe that something good can happen to me. Your life isn't over. You might have failed. You might be miserable. You might be unhappy. You might be a failure at some things. But God can take everyone, every single life that has come to him in Jesus' name. And if you'll let him, he'll mold you and shape you and direct you and help you and lead you. But here's the key, my friends. It's called selling out. It's called surrendering. It's called yielding the stuff that you don't want to yield. Man, that, you know, you could go, God, you're so good. We love you and all this stuff. And there's some things over here that you just won't yield. Man, I'm telling you what, everybody has to do it. Yeah. We've all got stuff that we didn't want to yield. Every one of us. That's what Christianity is. It's surrender. Surrendering all. Especially, hey, everybody can surrender 75%. Everybody can. It's the 25, it's the 20, it's the 15, it's the 10, it's the 5, it's the 1%. I don't want to surrender. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. What are you saying? Well, I'm saying, someone might be here watching this blames God. Proverbs teaches wisdom and foolishness. Foolishness is blaming God, having an attitude towards God, saying, I'm just the one that God has chosen to pick on. I'm just the one that, no matter what, everything goes wrong for me. Guess where the mistake is? By saying everything goes wrong for me. We change. The tongue of the wise speaks life. That's why Proverbs is so important to start with. Proverbs and Psalms. If I'm a new Christian, if I'm trying to get past failure, or if I've got a broken marriage, or if I got children that are in jail or going, you know, you got to start. Someone's got to believe. Someone's got to be the leader in the family. Somebody's got to be the one that's going to stand, and having done all to stand. It's usually grandma. It's usually mom. It's usually one of the, you know, I mean, dad, who knows where dad is, and who knows where son is, and who knows where the kids are, and who knows what's going on. But somebody's standing. Having done all to stand. Someone needs to stand. And it's not a girl thing. If you think it's a girl thing to be a sold-out Christian, that's just another one of the stupid things that you've concluded. We conclude stupid things because they contradict the Bible. And we just go, oh, yeah, that's what I believe. We've all heard some of the dumbest things you've ever heard of people say about the Bible. And I'd go, you know, politely, I'd say, well, where do you find that in the Bible? Because I could tell you 10 places that contradict what you just said. And they go, you know, and you go, you want to see them? You know what that is? That's excuses. That's reason. Reason. That's my reasoning. The Word of God is supernatural. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and it's a discerner. Discerner. What does discern mean? It separates between foolish and wise, dumb and smart. The Word will discern between dumb and smart. That is dumb. That's stupid. That's wrong. You're making a mistake. You're choosing the wrong thing. But I'm going to swing over. I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose blessing. I'm going to choose the right things. I'm going to say what God says. I'm going to get wisdom from Proverbs. I'm going to read the Psalms. I'm going to read the New Testament. I'm going to learn about Jesus. I'm going to listen to Apostle Paul. I'm going to listen to Peter. I'm going to listen to James. I'm going to listen to John. I'm going to get what the Word says, because my life isn't over yet, and it can turn very quickly because God's got the power to do it. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Free from what? Free from me, free from it, free from what was, free from what I did, free from who I hurt, free from who I stole from. Maybe whatever you did. Have you been in prison? Prisoners. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Jesus forgives your sin. Now make good choices, make good decisions. Choose life and blessing. Live above and not beneath. You can be blessed in the city. You can be blessed in the field. You can even be blessed in jail. You can get favor in jail. If you're listening to me in jail, you can get favor in jail. Serve God with all your heart, and God will start blessing you, and He'll even open doors. He can open prison doors. All right, so where I left off when I ran on this, there was a lady that came in, and she heard me go like off like this, you know, and she says, "He's ranting and raving." Hey, I like amplification. I like to make my points loud and clear. So hopefully I didn't offend anybody by yelling here. But I grew up in a there was always yelling in church for amplification and emphasis, you know, and so I kind of learned that, and I'm okay with it, and hopefully you are too. I mean, I could be up here and be very stoked and say, "Hey, well, we don't raise our voice, and we're very gentle, and we're peaceable, and very kind and loving and gentle, and I will only say positive stuff." Amen. Bible, yeah, here's one for you. And if you want to hear it, Bible truth is, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a person sows, that shall they also reap." All right, going forward here. Again, in Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free." All right, right now, everybody just has to go, "Christ has made me free." No matter where you are on the spectrum of life, "Christ has made me free." So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand fast. Fast is strong, sturdy, solid. I'm going to stand solid in what Christ did for me. He's made me free. I'm going to quit leaning back to the failure. I'm going to quit leaning back to self and all the stuff. And I'm going to hold fast and start moving forward, and it doesn't matter if you just go like this. Doesn't matter. But you're moving forward, and what you say to yourself is, "No matter what, I'm moving forward." And pretty soon, your pace of these tiny little steps begin to increase, and pretty soon you're walking, and pretty soon you're running your race, you know. And as you run your race that God has set before you, you know, things, you're looking, well, man, I'm passing things by. I'm passing, you know, stuff that used to stop me and knock me down and cause me to fail. No, I'm just moving right past it. I'm progressing. I'm growing up into Christ in all things. I'm being fruitful in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Something good is happening to me. Amplified Classic says, in this freedom, Christ has made us free, completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to the yoke of slavery which you have once put off. Okay, so we started with the children of Israel. They were under the yoke of Egypt. They were under the yoke of Pharaoh. They were under the cruel taskmaster, and it was miserable. But Christ came to break chains, to break the yoke, to break the boards that were connecting the two cows together, three cows. If you got three cows and you want them to all drag the lawn, or not the lawn, but the garden, you know, and you didn't want to have to till it yourself, then if you've got the luxury in the olden days of having a couple cows, you'd yoke them together, you'd put boards across their back, and you'd get them together so that they have to walk and step. And now what you're doing is you're leading them, and they're digging your garden for you. They've got a hoe, each of them got a hoe, and they're digging three rows at a time rather than digging one row at a time with one cow, or not even having a cow, and you have to dig the what do you need a row for? Because you're going to take the seeds, and you're going to plant the seeds, and then you go back and close it all up, and you're going to water them, and that's how you live, because that's what you did. So the yoke, now the yoke is removed, so I'm not yoked together with unbelievers anymore. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So I used to be yoked with all my buddies. And so when they swerved right, I swerved right, and where I ended up, I'm not telling you. And when they swerved left, I swerved left, and where we ended up, I'm not telling you. And this was a lifestyle of being yoked together with unbelievers and doing what they do and having the results of what they do. And the results is, oh yeah, we had a great time, but oh no, it's misery, shame, and how do I get out of this cycle? Okay, so whom the Son has set free, now we're no longer yoked together with unbelievers. I'm not tied to anybody anymore. I'm tied to you guys because I know who I know what you guys come to pray. You guys come to sing. You guys come to believe. You come to the word. We come for Christianity. We come from faith. We come to be doers of the word. And so good is happening. You got to believe that good is happening. Right now you're going, oh, I wish something good happened. No, good is happening if you'll allow it to. It just takes some time. Why? Because it's a seed. God said the word is a seed. And, kingdom of God is if a man would cast seed into the ground. What happens? He sleeps and rises. The seed should grow in spring and grow up. He knows not how. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn and ear. And when the harvest has come, immediately he puts in the sickle. Harvest. It works for everybody. What's missing ingredient? Water. What's missing? Water. The water of the word. Some people are trying to do it without the water of the word. If you have a plant, do you skip a week of watering? No, some of you water every day. I mean, you go out in your garden, you water every day. The washing of water by the word, the water of the word, I put it in every single day because it gives me the strength to, even when I don't see anything. Ah, oh, nothing's happening. Yes, something's happening. And my faith is something's happening. I covered that seed. The dirt is good. I've watered it. Man, it's going to... Oh, look at that. Hey, it popped a sprout. I can't eat a sprout. Some people like sprouts, but that little sprout ain't going to do anything for me. But you give it a week. You give it a month. Pretty soon that thing grows up and it's producing fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. That thing works. That's exactly what God said. God said the word is a seed. It's the seed. It's incorruptible seed that if we put it in our heart, if we put it in the soil of our heart, and we water it with faith and prayer and the word and surrender and yielding, and I can't feed the soil sin. It's like putting pesticide right on top of your plants. Those seeds that are springing up, you put sin on there and they fail. So, but God, I'm not perfect, man. What am I? No, do better today. And tomorrow do better. And the next day do better. But the only way you're going to do better is you got to put the word in every day. Every single day, get some word, find a scripture. The easiest thing to do is go to Proverbs. Proverbs from Psalms. Proverbs is one-liners. Get one line. Read till you find the one line you need and put it in there. The next day, get another one. Because what you're doing is called the washing of water by the word. The word is watering my plants, my seeds, and life is changing for the better. I'm growing up into Christ pretty soon. I'm looking back and I'm going, wow, what a miracle. God has changed my life. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
Let's say the salvation prayer. Dear God in heaven,
dear God in heaven,
I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of
God. I believe that he died on the cross for me. And was raised again from the dead so that I could have eternal life. Jesus, come into my heart.
Be my Savior.
And be my Lord.
I
ask you to forgive me of my sin.
I receive forgiveness now.
I receive eternal life.
And
I thank and praise you for it.
In
Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, you can listen to the Word of God nonstop. People listen to stuff all the time. Why don't you turn on a Bible app and listen? Listen to preaching. It's amazing how much scripture you can memorize just by listening to the Word. Listening to preaching. There are so many good resources. I mean, there's messages on our church YouTube page, 3 Degrees Church Minneapolis. Type in whatever your issue is. It'll pop up a message. What are you going to hear in the message? 150 scriptures from Pastor Steve on the subject, because it's the Word of God. That's why there's so many scriptures in messages here, because you don't need to know what we think. You need to know what God says. So you can hear it and hear it and hear it. Faith comes by hearing and 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 hearing. So we want to hear and hear and hear and hear the truth. Hear the truth. The truth will set you free. When you know the truth, so you have to know it. You have to know it, and you have to apply it. And it works. The word does not return unto itself void. The word of God is possible. It's powerful. It's powerful. It's impossible for God's word to fail. So when you put his word in your heart and it comes out your mouth, it will be impossible for you to fail. You might stumble, but it's going to be impossible for you to fail. Why? Because you're going to know how to pick yourself back up and keep going forward, just like Pastor said. Amen. We're going to receive this morning's offering, and if you're giving today, it's very helpful if you use an envelope if you're here. If you're online and you're giving, you can go to our website, 3degreeschurch.com. And there's a secured way to do it online. But it's important that we give God something to work with. The gospel is free. It's free. You don't have to pay to be saved. But if you want God involved in your finances, then he makes a way for that to happen through support of the local church. And as a local church, we support ministry organizations. We support evangelism around the globe because that's important. We support good Bible teaching. The things that we want for our church, we have found ministers. Rick Renner is one of them. He started a ministry the same time that Pastor Steve and I stepped into ministry, so a long time ago. On the front lines in Russia and established a church in that whole part of the world. But he is a Greek scholar. He's a Bible fanatic. He knows the truth. Well, that's what we want for you. Anybody in our church, we want you to know the truth. And so that's a ministry that we support, because he's helping people in areas that have not seen a lot of help. That's where they started. And we feel like we're called in the heart of our city to help people that maybe wouldn't feel like they could walk into, I don't want to call a regular church, but you know what I'm saying. We want people to feel welcome. We want people that know they need a savior to find them here and to come in off the street, no matter what condition they're in, and know the love of God and know the grace of God and his mercy. And I'm thankful for that. We want to know how to share the gospel, so we support an evangelist that travels all over and is very gifted in bringing people into the kingdom. Why? Because we want every person that walks through the doors of this church to get saved in Jesus' name. Amen? So anyway, we practice as a church what we preach, because you want to have giving and outflow. And that's the process. God promises that as we give, he'll multiply the seed sown. He'll give us resources to make sure that our needs are met and that we have enough left over to continue the process of being a blessing. And so we just want to jump into his program of finance. The righteous will not have to beg bread. That's what the Bible says. If you're a doer of the word. If you're a doer of the word. So, Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to give this morning, to sow into your kingdom. God, I thank you for the ministries that as a church we support. We pray for them to have their needs met in abundance. We pray for the people of this church. We stand together in agreement that the things we put our hands to would prosper, and that we would be doers of your word and not hearers only. And therefore, Father, we will not be deceived according to scripture. God, thank you for multiplying the seeds sown in this church today. Thank you for meeting the needs of the church and the needs of the people of the church in abundance. We declare there is enough, more than enough, and no lack. In Jesus' name, we purpose to use every penny to further your work in the kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Travis is going to help Teresa receive the offering this morning, and a couple of announcements. Men's group this Saturday at 9 o'clock here at the church. So men, you are invited to join Pastor Steve and John, 9 o'clock here at the church. And then at 11, we're going to open it up for any of the ladies that want to come help. But there's a really cool closed dock area just past the kitchen and fellowship hall that we put in when we moved into this new facility, and it just needs to be tidied up and turned into some outdoor dining and outdoor hangout space. And so we want to clean up, and then there's other things that we'll need to do. We'll take the opportunity to just do a nice deep clean of the church. So if you are able to help us, there's low impact stuff, and then there's some heavy lifting stuff, and we just invite you to come this coming Saturday. That'll start at 11. We'll have lunch. We'll feed you so you won't starve. You'll have enough energy to get the job done. We should only be here for a couple of hours. It really should not take that much time, and it's kind of a cool way just to come and be a part of the church. You feel like you're really a part of what's going on when you're able to just come and give a little bit of your time and to serve. We don't have paid staff that cleans the church. We do it. Whoever can stay after, and we take care of things. A lot of people have pitched in. And so if you want to come be a part of that, if you're free on Saturday, come join us at 11 o'clock. All right, and then women, I'm going to be out of town, actually. I'll be back for Sunday service, the weekend of Mother's Day, but ladies, we are not going to have our usual monthly ladies group, and then Revelation class and evangelism after. That's the third Saturday. And then Memorial weekend, Sunday after church, we're going to have lunch, and we're going to utilize our fun new little outdoor space, and we're praying for good weather, but it's covered anyway, so we'll open up the gates and and have some outdoor space, and we'll have our own little Memorial Day picnic on Sunday after church that weekend. So that's the announcements. Have a blessed afternoon. Thanks for participating in church. Be blessed.